welcome to Let's Eat In, and I'm your host, Kathy Arway. We're here today at Heritage Radio Network. Today's show is brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, where we actually happen to be. So check out Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. So today I have a couple guests, actually three guests, two girls and one guy. It's always been a different mix-up lately. So I'm really happy to have one of my dearest friends and cooking collaborators, Akiko Moorman. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi. I'm so happy.
All the way back from, she came here all the way from Japan.
Just to be on your show. Just to be on your show, Kathy. Yeah. So
it was bound to happen at one point, but yes, we dragged you. So Akiko and I have a supper club called the Hapa Kitchen, and Hapa means half Asian, basically, essentially.
Yeah.
And
half
we
awesome.
Cook, yeah, and we cook food that's half awesome, half Asian, half something else.
Hey. Asian's and awesome too.
Yes. And that was the voice of another half awesome person. I think that's the new definition.
That's right.
Of Hapa.
Perfect.
Okay, so actually, when we're doing this, we'd all heard of Loving Day before. Loving Day is a nonprofit that Ken Tanabe founded. Ken, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, everybody, thanks.
Cool. And you founded that in 2005?
2004, believe it or not. Time flies.
Been around. Cool.
Yeah.
And that is all about the, well, let me back up with the history lesson. There was, at one point, it was illegal to be wed interracially.
That's correct.
And then this court case called Loving versus Virginia, because the couples, they were married and they're interracial. Mm-hmm. They were taken to court, and then they won. So that effectively, the case effectively legalized marriage. So your organization is called Loving Day, which is celebrating the case and interracial marriage now that it's legal.
That's about right. Yeah. We're best known for celebrating the anniversary of that case, Loving versus Virginia.
Charles Loving. Such a great name.
Richard, actually.
Is it Richard? I thought it was Charles. No, it's Richard?
Richard.
Ooh, Dick Loving. Love it.
Oh, no.
Never thought of that one. Okay. Interesting. This is going to be, I can see the show, how it's going to go. Anyway.
Hey, man, I'm on club time right now.
The Tokyo time.
She's drinking Mai Tais right now.
Yeah. But anyways, the organization, the idea is to basically fight racial prejudice through education about the Loving decision and the rest of the history, you know, before that, because the case was just sort of like the tip of the iceberg. It was illegal in the U.S. In most of the country for about like 400 years, like since colonial times, you know, interracial marriage.
And not a lot of people are surprised when they hear about that. They're like, that's not true. And I'm like, well, actually it was. And they're like, and how do you exist? Because I'm...
Well, after, I mean, they actually created more laws right at the end of World War I. There was actually, once a lot of Chinese laborers were coming in, they actually created and they introduced it now being illegal to marry Asians. So like this is the law that grew in
that's true
before it was destroyed.
Yeah, I think people don't,
many little laws,
and that's what makes it such a sort of interesting and complex topic. The first laws were actually against marriage between Native Americans and European settlers, basically the colonialists,
right?
And they updated the laws again once they began importing African slaves, right? So that was like everyone thinks it's black white. It's like, well, actually, that was the second round of laws. The third round of laws was the Asian immigration, right? And they just had started working on the South Asian group, like people from India. Like, I think they got one state
But they actually changed because of that, because India was under British rule in the United States. They were considered not part of the East Asians.
Right. Well, yeah, they weren't in that group. It was like a separate group, but it got reversed. But anyway, what we do now is we celebrate the anniversary of the case as a way to educate people about that history, but also to build a multicultural community around
and pride,
that annual
pride.
Pride, right. And pride and community.
The history, celebrating the overcoming these challenges, like the poor couple that endured this horrible case.
Absolutely. Sorry. And there's still a lot going on in that. Well, anyways. Well,
oh, let's talk about that. We also have Madeline, the VP of Loving Day.
Hi. Thank you for
having
me.
Thanks so much for coming. So it's lovingday.org. And like we were saying, I think it's so funny that the person's last name happened to be Loving. And it is a celebration of loving people of other walks of life.
That's a very diplomatic way of putting it.
Yeah. I know.
It's definitely it's a lot softer than the way the laws phrased it.
Yeah.
Well,
but recently, Hapa Kitchen and Loving Day put out a press release last month about the case
in Louisiana.
In Louisiana, yeah. About the
It was kind of big news for a while. It broke that there was a couple that tried to get married. They were interracial. She was white, I think, and he was black. And this, what's his name? The justice.
The justice of the peace decided that because he wanted to protect the children. Protect the children.
Right.
He denied them a marriage license for the sake of the children.
And then he, a month ago, he retired.
Which is crap!
That's another diplomatic way of putting it.
It's totally not. He should not be allowed to retire.
Yeah, we were
going to
take him down. We were going to go riot on the streets.
And he, you know, he had a history of doing this.
Like, yes.
Right.
But
he was outspoken about it.
To be fair, he lets black people use his bathroom.
Right, and they're his friends.
Because he's not racist. Yeah.
And he had Jewish friends, so basically, too. He can't be racist.
He had the most ridiculous claims to his defense.
Absolutely.
And he never apologized, really.
Because the children couldn't fit in. He said that we were pretty much like the tragic mulattoes.
Right.
Isn't it
so sad how sad our lives are? Mm. I mean, I'm so sad.
I cry every night.
Every night I go to bed and I'm like, my life would be so much better if I was a full Asian.
Well, I don't know if everyone on the air has heard that term before, tragic mulatto. It actually was it was like a genre of story, basically, or film, especially. Like, if you heard of Pinky or Showboat or Imitation of Life,
these films where there's famous character.
Usually it's someone who's part black, part white, who's trying to pass for white, then they're discovered, and then their lives like fall apart, and they usually end up dead skid row.
In that movie, like, who's coming to dinner? Like, there's always this, well, think of the children. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I know that you guys are in love, and that's great, but, like, once you guys have children, you know, like, oh.
Well, and, you know, it used to be thought that, genetically speaking, people who are mixed could not reproduce. That's where
like,
the term mulatto comes from, the term mules.
Right,
because a donkey, like a mule can't reproduce. It's the child of a horse and a donkey. And they can't
can't reproduce, guys.
Everyone
happen?
I'll tell my dates that. Don't worry, baby.
Don't worry. What if we don't need protection. I'm mixed.
What if we only try to reproduce with other mulattoes or mixed race people? Will that work? No? Anyway,
it's pretty well founded. We don't have any problems reproducing.
Speaking of which, that is true. Everyone's like, nowadays when I hear about somebody getting married who they're interracially, they're like, oh, your children are going to be so beautiful.
Mm. And sterile, but beautiful.
Sterile, but beautiful. Even better, you don't have to get birth control. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's another
love.
That's another like stereotype we try to kind of, you know, disseminate with Loving Day, because I think there are lots of stereotypes kind of going around about mixed people, about, you know, there's certain expectations, I think.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's sort of a reversal.
Is she to be called beautiful?
Yes, actually. No, yeah, seriously.
I know.
It's like if you're black
too.
And it's like, well, you're great at basketball, right? And you're
on.
You know what I mean? It's kind of the same idea.
Or you're smart at math.
Because you're
Asian.
I wish.
It's the same thing. So, I mean, you know, we're just like everybody, like, we're the same as everybody else. That's the general plan, right?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. That's not entirely true. Can we give a little what up to, like, the most infamous Hoppa right now in the news?
Oh, no, let's not, please. You're bringing a bad name to all Hoppas.
Come on.
Acknowledging.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. I just need three more women to come forward if you're out there, please. I would like to do the Ladies of Tiger calendar.
He is so irresistible.
Three more women could come forward. It'd be nice if one of them was of color, but, like, you know. It's cool if there's, like, a calendar of all 12 white chicks.
Well,
at least
there were
some
brunettes.
How do we feel about this, guys? I mean, I've heard a lot of, like, mixed reactions about how, you know, because he has this clean-cut image.
But we're just...
He's not sexualized as
a
celebrity.
But it's nice that he is.
And now he is.
But here's the thing. Talk about breaking stereotypes. Like, yes, he was, like, pitched as this, like, Ivy League Hoppa who, like, studied hard and is really good at golf. And now, like, you know, like, yeah, he gets drunk and he has sex with like ladies who work in bars.
Well, I disagree with that. I don't think he was ever pitched as a Hoppa. I think he tried to pitch himself as a Hoppa in a sort of, you know, disjointed way. The Kablan Asian thing didn't stick. He didn't really handle it as well as Barack Obama did. You know, people understood when he was talking about his background Tiger, they're like, what? He's like, well, look, here's my Asian mom right here sitting next to me.
The black community, I remember that.
On Oprah, here's my Asian mom. They're like, well, since you're black. And he's like, Asian mom? They're like, what's it like being a black golfer? You know what I mean?
I
like,
know.
It completely he didn't really register.
Because that's because he's a Blasian.
mm-hmm. No, I remember I had this like.
You have to ease the black community into joining us. So, you know, he's a Blasian and he's some of our.
I mean, I hear that, but the rest of, you know, people aren't used to thinking about race in those terms,
well,
generally
which is
speaking.
Why
mixed
well,
people,
Right. Kathy and I were at the inauguration and we were there as part of a very important, like, both a documentary and as like our own personal protest. And this idea that, like, that everyone kept saying, this is our first black president, this is our first black president. Kathy and I were really trying to make the point to everyone, no, this is our first multiracial president.
And that's, that was the point of this whole project, which somebody did a documentary about, and they were following different multiracial people coming to the inauguration in D.C. And having in this event a dinner, which Akiko and I cooked. And there was a lot of discussion, and we wanted to basically explore the idea of being the first multiracial president and questioning whether or not Obama himself would, I don't know, kind of spread awareness about that. It was a really, really deep
Let me just put an idea out there. Is that most of the thinking in the multi-ethnic community now is that these identities don't have to exclude each other. So he can be black and he can be multiracial. It doesn't have to be like a fractional kind of exact mathematical science, because he has both of those identities and they're both salient to him and to other people. And when he speaks about himself, he says, I'm a black man of mixed heritage, or something along those lines, which works for me. You know, I mean, I understand why he's black primarily, because that's what works for people in the public. That's how they understand
race. Well,
But he doesn't.
That's what he looks like. If he looked more white, he would probably identify as being, you know, more multiracial or a white man.
And I think also that that carries more political, you know, worth in the United States to be black rather than mixed.
Right, but okay.
Right now.
But does it matter
of
that
all
you
four
look...
of us, if any of four of us became president, like, would you ever feel comfortable saying, I'm the United States' first Asian president? Absolutely not. I mean, I know I wouldn't.
Really?
I don't know, Akiko.
Well, Mr. Tanabe.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. I know, but I think you're right. It's because he does look black, because a lot of people, you know, they always do the guess what ethnicity you are, the ambiguous ethnic game.
Well, okay, I mean right? coming back from Tokyo, I mean, I will say that, like, being in Tokyo is hilarious, because here everyone hears my name and they look at me and they're like, oh, you're clearly an Asian. And in Tokyo, I tell people my name, they're like, Akiko. Why is your name Akiko? And I'm like, well, you know, in Japanese, I'll say, my mother's Japanese. And they're like, really?
Wow.
And, I mean, I'm certainly not identified as being one of them. You know, I mean, it depends. Like, certain days I wear my hair, if I'm buttoned up and covered up, you know, maybe sometimes I can pass.
Well, I think it's important that as a community we sort of get together and spread the message that, hey, this is an identity, and hey, we can be sort of multiple identities. And that's one of the things that Loving Day works to do. You know, I mean, this year, you guys know this, but just to tell everybody, you know, there was events in 31 cities in 3 countries, and two of those events were in Japan, actually. And that's just the beginning. This is the first year that there was stuff in Japan. So I think that we're starting to sort of join together and say, like, hey, like, this isn't like a confusing thing anymore. Like, there is an identity around this.
Well, and Kathy and I have always talked about is that we really want to push for, you know, there to be academia around multiracial studies, and that, like, you know, right now we have a lot of identity politics. We have Asian American studies, we have Black American studies, we have gay and gender studies. But we don't have multiracial studies, and that's, I think, you know, certainly
and it's actually a good time for it, because there's so many multiracials being born nowadays.
Fastest growing community.
That's true,
community.
According to the latest census.
Thank goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
So go out there and make me a hapa, people, if you're listening.
You know, actually, I think it was at a documentary we went to the other day, said that multi-ethnic people's studies is one of the fastest growing studies. Like,
but there's not
like
departments
academic.
Yet. I mean, right now, there are like
It's in
crossing.
Anthropology
yes.
or Asian
you know
studies
what?
Or
it's
African
going to
studies.
Happen
it's
sooner or later
in sociology.
Because there's going to be so many more multiracial people that it's got to happen.
I know, we're kind of getting
speaking
boring.
Of which, we have a song coming up which Ken chose. It's by, what's her name?
It's Little Dragon. She's half Japanese, half Swedish.
Let's
she's
listen
out of Sweden.
To it.
Yeah.
Cool.
no sympathy really here. All the sweetness is left somewhere on some streets, miles from where we seem to be. No love, no love, no compassion really here. Even the reason why we met vanished in the air. You keep talking while I sit and glare, just can't understand how it disappeared. No. No love in this room.
Hey, we're back with Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. Today's show is brought to you by Roberta's Pizza. That's because that's where we're at Heritage Radio Network. We are also able to be joined by your phone calls. So call in at 718-497-2128. So anyway, here today we're talking about interracial love and
make it
policy, I guess. And food, we didn't really get into that much food and dating, but well, let's get into there. And mm-hmm. with Akiko Mormon, Ken Tanabe, mm-hmm. and Madeline
Kanai
from lovingday.org and from Hapa Kitchen, not respectively, the other way around. Okay, so you get the point.
We just found out that Ken and Madeline are dating Hapas. So, okay, if you guys make babies with your lovers...
Are you dating each other?
No.
That would have been...
Sorry.
There are other hoppers. We're not that scarce.
Wait, there's more of you?
Actually, my,
believe it or not,
oh my
we live on an island.
Actually, you know what? I know. Actually, I will say that I think that being in Japan again, like I was in like a very like gaijin-friendly neighborhood. But
Gaijin?
Like foreigner friendly neighborhood.
Okay.
And I will say that there are so many Hapa babies mm-hmm. that I'm pretty sure that we're going to own Japan really soon.
Well, you know, I mean,
it's Hawaii already.
And it's, yes. It's a pretty big issue in Japan. Like, really? There's a yes. project called the Hafu Project. And two of my friends headed up, Marsha Lisa is her name, and Raimi, and they both study the Hafu identity in Japan because they're kind of objectified and mm-hmm. not really seen as real people with real issues. And for example, like Akiko was born with a Japanese mother and a foreign father, which means that her mother probably had to petition for her nationality. But my father being Japanese.
In Japan.
Because they only extend citizenship to people whose fathers are Japanese instead of mothers Japanese. Oh, yeah. Okay. So when I was born, my father was Japanese. Well, my father's mixed, but he retained Japanese citizenship. Mm-hmm. And so I was given Japanese citizenship.
Because his father was Japanese.
Exactly. Because his father's Japanese. Okay. So it's kind of... you know, I mean, that's one of the issues that we're kind of...
Yeah.
We're
being
And there's definitely progress in this country. I mean, I just came back from Los Angeles to accept an award for Loving Day from MASC, which is the Multiracial Americans of Southern California.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And they've been around for 20 years. They're great. You know, on the census...
So they work
with
you quite a bit.
We collaborate, yeah. And you know how the census has changed now? You can check off, like, more than one box. So they've been around long enough to have been, like, part of that.
Oh, they helped.
Right. They're the ones who made it happen.
Yeah. They worked on that. So basically, there was there were several honorees. One of them was the Japanese American National Museum, which was really thrilling. They've been hosting the nation's second largest Loving Day celebration in Los Angeles for the past 2 years. Uh-huh. And they're really open to the idea of an Asian diaspora and the idea that Hapas are actually part of the Asian community. And they show that support by hosting Loving Day events. You know, and I'm hearing similar things from the Asian Pacific American sort of section of the Smithsonian Institution.
Perfect.
There's a lot of progress here, like within those types of organizations
Very
in the U.S.
Very exciting.
But
I can see a museum definitely dedicated to these issues. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? Let's find
some time.
Well, yeah. I know also in California now, I know that they're giving honorary degrees now to a lot of the soldiers who were taken out of University of California. I think they took out something like I don't remember how many it was. I think it was over like 1,800 Japanese American students were taken out of the university program and sent to the internment camps. So they are now, I think this month, awarding 100 honorary degrees to those people who are unable to finish their their education.
That's great.
Cool. Yeah. And just to talk about, like, you know, fun projects that are happening all the time with HAPAs. I mean, not to toot our own horns, but you can
always come to a HAPA kitchen. HAPA kitchen.
Yeah. We'll toot that horn for you.
Thank you.
Delicious. Amazing.
But I feel
food.
Like I hear a lot of, you know, other fun stuff happening. I'm blanking right now.
Kathy and I are definitely doing some very sexy dinners in February where we encourage people to find another person not of their race, take off their pants, and make a HAPA.
Wait a minute, before it's a, all the be swingers.
Act responsibly, please, folks.
No, actually, it's just
practice birth control.
Let me translate what Akiko just said.
When mommy and daddy really love each other.
Something around February.
You got her all rattled.
I can't do it. Did she just say February?
Have another chocolate.
I think I just mixed up the L's and the R's.
That was amazing.
What happened?
It was amazing. Like, it's like contagious. No, what we mean is that we're going to have an awesome dinner. Like, it'll be a normal HAPA kitchen dinner.
Which normal means...
amazing food. Amazing
yeah,
people.
Yeah, we kind of bristle at the word fusion just because we think that everything we've seen that calls itself fusion food is just... kind of misguided. So we tend to, you know, just say, you know, it's half like we tackle a different couple of cuisines with each one, French and Chinese or Japanese and
American bistro.
I think we should do Southern.
Southern.
We should totally do Southern.
Being half Southern, I really,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say.
Madeline, thank you so much for these great bourbon balls, which
you're
I
welcome.
Was just eating. I can see something going on. What about a sake chocolate?
Oh my! I've always wanted to do a cocktail called the Asian Flush because I don't know about you girls, but I gotta.
I rock the Asian sunburn
right?
nightly.
But speaking of food, you know, every year we do this Loving Day celebration, the flagship celebration, as Ken was talking about, and we have about 13. I think this past year, what do we have? 1,200.
It's like a little over 1,000.
I like to expound and say it's about
so you know, Loving Day celebration
because
is
HAPA is
in
equal to
May.
People,
it's exactly. In June.
It's in June
because the court case was decided on June 12th, so it's usually within a week of that in New York.
Okay,
and remember that our celebration. It's the largest, but it's not the only one. It's one of those 31 in 2009, and we're hoping to go. Let's go double this year. Why not?
And you can make your own. It's like picnics. You can do literally like cocktail parties. You can have potluck dinners.
So join the revolution.
Exactly. You could have
celebrate Loving Day.
Have your own sort of fusion, quote unquote, inspired dinner party. You know, and do it around June 12th. Call it Loving Day. Post it to our website, and you know, and you're in business. Just tell your guests why you're doing it.
How about a potluck? You know?
Potluck would be great. There's definitely been potlucks.
Like bring your jeans to the table and then mix them up.
There you go.
Well, my favorite like kind of HAPA meal has to be the base is rice. I call it the Maddie Bowl. You know, I'm a little. But I put a little bit of beans, soy sauce, and cheese. Yeah, garbanzo beans and some avocado.
Some
sardines. And
ooh, you should submit that to our cookbook.
I will. And you know what? Actually, speaking of love, when I knew that I just love, like I just fell in love with my boyfriend probably within, I don't know, a day of meeting him. I met him at a Loving Day, actually, two years ago. He was invited. And that's how we met. And we were actually, I know he probably... really be embarrassed if I say this, but we were conceived in the same city in Japan and not by the same people, but
yeah. That'd be gross.
But I knew that we were meant to be when I said, you know, New York, you do about like a month or two of going out to restaurants and stuff and kind of showing off. And then finally I said, can we sit in and can we just make some dinner at home? And he said, yeah, what do you want to have? I said, this is what I usually eat. And I made the Maddie Bowl, and he was like, I love this. This is wonderful.
Perfect.
And I thought,
just melts my heart.
Yeah, I could be with this person.
No, people
and
hear
he loved it.
Yeah, right. And he loved it. So it was definitely.
Wait, rice, chickpeas, avocado?
Avocado. You can put some cheese on there or vegan cheese, whatever you want. And you can put some sardines in there. You know, you just mix it up. It's whatever you want.
That is,
honestly.
That is simple and beautiful and honest. I love it.
People sometimes, sorry.
No, that's okay.
People sometimes they're like, Loving Day, what is that? And they envision this sort of dating. Service type situation, you know, and we're like, no, there's historical significance.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's
you
like,
have to explain.
Wait, let's go back to this question. So you're both dating HAPAs. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have babies with what are your babies?
Oh,
HAPA
Lord.
Squared.
HAPAs?
If you want to like break it down, I'm 3/8 Japanese. I'm 5/8 white. So I don't know what I mean. And he's Turkish. My boyfriend's half Turkish and half Japanese. So I think we broke it down that they would be half Asian. half.
They would be
fill in the blank.
Yeah. What do you think?
I can't wait to hear what your boyfriend's favorite foods are.
What?
Sorry, a turkey. Like
yeah, his father's Turkish and his mother's mm-hmm. Japanese. They met in England.
And we should do a Turkish and Japanese night.
There are lots of babies out there who are half Turkish and half Japanese too. Nice. Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Sorry, Ken.
Sorry. Oh. So yeah, Chinese. It would be Chinese, Japanese, Belgian, Venezuelan.
Whoa.
That's what it would be.
So hotness.
Perhaps.
And she's hot.
I encourage.
She's very sweet.
I encourage you to make one just so we can see what it looks like.
Ken, do you cook?
This is why we're doing it.
Ken, do you cook for your girlfriend ever, or does she?
She's better than me.
She's better.
She's better. I make an effort sometimes, but my kitchen is, it's kind of like it's like an astronaut kitchen.
I've seen some of those. Okay, in my time.
It's like a airplane kitchen. Yeah.
So does she have any flares about her home cooking? Does it owe to both of her heritages?
I think neither. I think it's just sort of like without tradition. I think it's just
creative.
Unconventional.
Yeah, renegade.
Here, I'll tell you a little story. I brought her to a birthday party and there was no cake, only beer and hamburgers. And she was like, "Where's the cake?" And they're like, "There is no cake." And she like just started emptying out the cabinets and made a chocolate bread pudding out of like Wonder Buns and like whatever the heck they had.
Wow,
lying around. And, like,
she's fabulous.
Jack somebody's like bottle of like cognac or something. Put it in. Everyone's like stuck 12 spoons in it and pass it around. Everyone was like,
bread pudding instead of cake. Great idea.
Yeah, so I don't know
Sprinkle
what that
some
is.
Booze in there, maybe.
Yeah, it's not Chinese or Venezuelan.
Fun.
Yeah.
Do you cook for your man friend Akiko?
My very special man friend. I do.
Yeah.
I do. Right. Not as often.
Fancy things?
You know me. Like at home I'm more of like I'm more of like a rustic.
Homespun.
I'm more of
like
a roasted chicken, you know.
Yeah, a lot of different things to kind of peck at in a plate. A lot of textures, lots of flavors.
Lots of colors.
Mostly
it's about, you know, my product. Like whatever I can get my hands on. Like if I can you know, get something from Hoosick River Poultry, I'll cook anything that Craig gives me. That man is genius.
Hoosick Farm is awesome.
Hoosick Farm, if you don't know about it.
Speaking of farms, sorry, I just wanted to mention tonight at Bobo in Manhattan, they're going to have a fundraiser for the Brooklyn Grange Project, which is spearheaded by the guys here at Roberta's. It's going to be an urban farm. And so all the more urban farms, the better, but they need to be funded. So check it out. Brooklyn Grange.
Right,
aren't
they
great.
Supposed to have like some really awesome prizes?
Oh yeah,
raffle items.
Amazing raffle items. Auctions? There's a huge wheel of cheese from Ann Saxelby. Saxelby Cheesemongers. There was some great chef's knives. Basically, stuff that we would love, and probably you would too. It's foodie. Yeah,
that sounds fabulous.
Grab bag.
Where
it's
is
awesome.
It again?
Bobo.
Okay,
it's this really great cafe. They also have lots of farm fresh produce on their menu.
All
so,
local?
Yeah. Mm. So they would definitely benefit from this kind of farm. And I wanted to ask one last thing. What would you guys cook? Perfect date meal. Akiko.
Ooh, perfect date meal?
10, 9, 8.
Pork belly lettuce wraps.
Pork belly lettuce wraps. I love it. Ken.
You know what? I would attempt to reproduce what Hapa Kitchen made for the Loving Day fundraising dinner, which was the one that really popped for me was a pulled pork sliders on brioche with like pear chutney and
that is sexy
and arugula, I think, if I remember that correctly.
Bunny pot pie
or the bunny. Well, that's hard.
Bunny.
Maybe I tried that too, but that was
that's sexy.
I would essentially try to do what you guys did. I try is the operative
try.
Word.
Try. Yeah. Cool. And Madeline, anything but the Maddie Bowl?
Oh, you know. That's an aphrodisiac, by the way.
I think so. I gotta try it.
I have to say, Tora, my boyfriend, he loves corn pudding, so I'll probably make some corn pudding and maybe kind of like maybe some tonkatsu. You know, do a little fusion.
All the Japanese people go,
Southern comfort and tonkatsu.
Oh, can we make like a Southern okonomiyaki?
Can we do it? I'm all for it.
Yeah,
listen, girls,
it.
I'm ready.
All right, well, we'll collaborate on some of these ideas, and we'll definitely get them in the Hapa Kitchen cookbook, which everyone should be looking for next year.
And check out lovingday.org. Thanks so much, Ken and Madeline, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Akiko for finally coming on
the
air.
Right.
Spent all the time we have here, but wanted to thank Heritage Radio Network once again, and our sponsor, Roberta's Pizza. Thanks, Jack, in the engineering room. We'll see you next week.